day think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. You missed Scott Drew, and some other just sort of general nonsense that we did, which we always do on a Friday. So hopefully Barry responding to Doc asking about the proper response for your girlfriend totaling your truck. Barry says cheat on her.
Maybe so. Maybe that's the move.
That's kind of the response for most things in my mind. But we are at here in Phoenix for the Final Four. We've got a lot of interviews coming up here, especially in the 6 o'clock hour. But I think we're about to have another one here, and then we'll have R.J. Bell at 5:30. So a very, very busy show as we move forward here. And we haven't – guess what?
The man is here. The man is here.
Yeah, as we hang on 1 second here while we reset this.
Let's get you on this mic. Yeah. Man. That's the one that we've been having luck with. All right, joining us now, one of the best players in the entire country this year and a finalist for the Naismith Award, Josh Hart joins us on the program from Villanova. Josh, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the season. I mean, obviously didn't end quite as – it wasn't quite as cool as last season, I guess. But still a successful run for you guys. I mean, everyone says it's hard to repeat, and obviously it is. Did you guys feel added pressure this year?
Not really, just because we don't really pay attention to the outside world really too much. At the end of the day, we really are focused on each other and focused on our own expectations. But it was a tough one. You know, we had to answer that question the whole year. So I'm happy I don't have to answer it right now. But you know, it was a tough one.
I said Villanova, for you guys this year, I thought it would be tough because you guys – you lost some of the physicality from last year, and it was a lot. I mean, you guys were always a guard-oriented team, but even more reliant on the backcourt this season than last, and they lost that interior toughness. Did you notice that missing throughout the year?
Not really. You know, Darrell Reynolds stepped up big for us. You know, Amari Spellman, who's one of our one of our recruits, who's just a heck of a player. You know, wasn't able to play this year, so that was kind of a blow to that part.
Yeah.
So you know, it was definitely tough, but you know, that's how it happens sometimes. You just got to react to it.
I will say there was I forget what game it was exactly, but I looked at the shooting percentage for you guys, and it was well over 50%. And then I looked at the shot chart, and it was almost all outside. I mean, almost nothing's happening in the paint. I mean, so it's one of those things where if you guys have a night like that, it's going to be hard to beat you, but it's hard to have that many nights in a row where all those shots are falling from the outside.
Tell me about it. You know, we love to shoot the ball. You know, shoot the most, sleep in the streets. That's our motto. So you know, we have open shots. You know, coach wants us to shoot. If we don't shoot, you know, that'll be a problem. But you know, when we're making shots, we're a heck of a team. And now, when we're missing shots, that's what this program prides ourselves on, just going down there and getting defensive stops.
I thought that even though you guys were technically the number one overall seed, they didn't really treat you guys that way. Because I was thinking, I saw when they said Villanova's the number one overall seed, so in the second round they're going to play a really underseeded Wisconsin team that's been to like four straight Sweet 16s. Meanwhile, Gonzaga in the second round gets to play a team that's never even been to the tournament. That doesn't seem like number one overall seed treatment to me.
Yeah, that one was a tough one. I'm not sure how Wisconsin got that eighth seed, but We knew that was going to be a tough game.
That's a good squad. That was a good squad. And, I mean, they matched up well with you guys. And last year, it seemed like the run you guys had through the tournament, just everything clicked. And, I mean, even the first game of the Final Four, Oklahoma didn't even look like they belonged on the court with you. Yeah. And then, of course, the epic game with North Carolina that you guys finished out with. Did it feel any different going into the tournament? Did you feel like this was a championship team?
Definitely. And, you know, the difference between, you know, winning and losing a game and, you know, being national champions and not is just so slim. You know, it's a call here. It's a made shot there. You know, sometimes you can't even control it. And, you know, we were confident this year going in. You know, we knew we had a very talented team. And, you know, it wasn't in the cards this year. You know, there were some calls that could have went the other way. You know, I would love if Bronze didn't make so many threes he did that game. But, you know, that's just how it went this year.
Does that kind of looking back now make you realize just how hard it is to go through this tournament unscathed and appreciate it a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm not sure how last year the Kansas game was a thing. You know, a close game with, you know, I think we won that one by five, I think it was. And then, obviously, the North Carolina ones. But besides that, you know, the other games were, you know, 15, 20-point wins. You know, even had a 44-point win. Mm. And, you know, looking back at that, I'm like, yo, how the heck did we do that? You know, we were in a dogfight with Wisconsin in the second round. And we're like, man, you know, I don't know how we did that last year. But, you know, it's difficult. This tournament, you know, anybody can win it.
You ended up withdrawing from the draft last year. Mm-hmm. You feel like you made the right decision coming back to Villanova?
Yeah, definitely. You know, at the end of the day, for me, you know, it's about my family. It's about make sure they're, you know, they're good. You know, and you know, for me, it's not about just getting to the league. It's about staying in the league. It's about having a long career in the league. And if, you know, 1 year of, you know, of, you know, coming back to school, you know, maturing more as a man, you know, polishing my game more as a player. If that 1 year could turn into 5 or 6 years and, you know, more in the NBA, then, you know, that's a no-brainer.
You're one of these guys who's had great success in college, yet when people talk about the top prospects in this draft, your name's not usually near the top of the conversation. Do you feel like maybe you're being a little overlooked coming into this draft process?
Yeah, you just got to know how it is now. Right now, it's about the one and done. It's about the younger guys who, you know, are freakish athletes and, you know, just kind of freaks in a way. And you got to know that. And, you know, if I was about 6'7", 6'8", a little more athletic, I think I would have been gone last year. But you know, it's just how it is now. So I try not to, you know, pay too much attention to it. I have my own niche that I have to, that I'm in. And, you know, I'm proud of where I am right now.
What do you bring to an NBA team?
Just winning. At the end of the day, that's all I really care about. I don't care about the points. I don't care about anything like that. At the end of the day, it's about winning for me. If that means I got to, you know, dive on the floor for loose balls, if I got to take a charge, you know, if I got to get a defensive stop, you know, that's what I'm going to do. At the end of the day, it's winning. That's first and foremost.
That's a good attitude for a dude who's, you know, maybe going to win the Naismith Trophy. Now you're like, oh, yeah, I'll do whatever I got to do to get on the floor.
Do whatever I got to do.
It's funny that how times have changed. You know, now 6'5", you're an undersized two in the NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned these guys that are 6'7", 6'8". I mean, are you going to be able to check those guys?
Yeah. I have all the confidence in myself, you know, to go up against anybody. And you know, I think I'm, you know, obviously 6'5", but, you know, one thing you can't measure is heart, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing for me. You know, at the end of the day, it's about a mentality. And, you know, that's me. You know, that's me. That's my view of things.
Talk about this Naismith process. What are you guys doing? How do people get the vote in? And tell people who they should vote for.
Yeah. So I think you go to...
You're a Frank Mason guy, right?
Yeah. I'm not even sure what the website is, but anyone just Google the Naismith. I think it's Naismith Trophy.
No, we got it right here.
Yeah, we're going to have to pull that one out.
Yeah, the Citizen Naismith Trophy presented annually to the most outstanding college basketball player in the country. Four finalists are Lonzo Ball from UCLA, Frank Mason, third from Kansas, Caleb Swanigan from Purdue, and, of course, Josh Hart here from Villanova. You guys can go to naismithtrophy.com/vote, and you can cast your ballot for one of those.
Vote for me, guy. No, not one of those. The only Josh Hart. That's the
only guy to vote for, right?
That's the only one in the equation right now is Josh Hart.
I'm with you on that. I really to me it's between you and Caleb Swanigan. I think you guys are the guys who impacted your team the most. And obviously, your team was better than his. I think my vote would go to you this year. So, I think you had a fantastic year last year, and you were able to improve on that even. So, I congratulate you on all the success. I'm wishing you the best of luck in the NBA. You gave 4 good years at Villanova. You guys had a good run. You think Villanova basketball is going to continue to be at the top?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you see the younger guys now with Dante DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, Eric Paschal. You know, they had tough, you know, talented guys who were just gritty, and that's what it is there. We got, you know, some great recruits coming in. I know there's like an NCAA violation with something with recruits, so I'm not gonna name none of them.
Okay.
But you know, we got good guys coming in, and you know, one thing that's with them, you know, with Nova, you know, it's about the culture, it's about the character, and at the end of the day, you know, that's one reason why we won last year, not just because of the talent, but just because our character level and where we come from with our parents. So that's something that culture is, you know, is going to have, and you know, due to that, you know, they're always going to be around.
I just looked at the mock draft, and it has you going to Houston. So maybe maybe we'll see you down there.
Hey, I have great memories in Houston, so I would love.
Yeah, you were going to say you had a good time there.
I love Houston.
All right, they're giving us the you got to get him out of here. So, Josh, we appreciate the time, man, and best of luck with the draft and. Congratulations on a great college career.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All righty.
So, make sure you guys get on there and vote.
Yep. Josh Hart. Vote Josh Hart.
Vote for Josh
and
Hart.
And Coach Wright. Vote for Coach Wright for Coach of the Year.
Okay.
All righty. So, got to tell you about, you got to tell the people about Man's Best Friend.
I got to tell the people about Man's Best Friend. That's right. When I'm away, I need someone to watch my dog, Man's Best Friend. That's where I go. When I got the new puppy, and I think we're about to add another dog, Fred. Where do you think I'm going to take it to get it trained?
Man's Best Friend.
That's right. They are the professional difference in dog training, and they've been in the game for a long time, and they've worked for me several times. I've taken 3 dogs now to Man's Best Friend and customized the training that I want. I basically told them the problems I was having with the dogs. This is what I want to change, and they were able to take care of it. What are you waiting on? Send your best friend to Man's Best Friend today. Man's Best Friend will take care of all the chewing on the furniture, the barking, the jumping, all that gone. And right now, 30% off for our listeners. For more info, log on to mansbestfriend.com. That's mansbestfriend.com, the professional difference in dog training.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Radio Row. Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row is being brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. The best way to watch the NCAA March Madness Tournament is at Buffalo Wild Wings with their new limited-time menu. Don't miss a single second. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, and sports. And I love me some Buffalo Wild Wings. When my wife first moved here, that was our Sunday routine, is we would go and get 2 spots right in the middle before the football game started at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we'd watch the games and usually stay there all afternoon and have a bunch of food and get really drunk. But, in fact, that's my favorite place to go at Hobby Airport. They have that Buffalo Wild Wings at Hobby.
They do.
So, let me some Buffalo Wild Wings. Go to the one down in Midtown all the time.
I love wings, beer, and sports.
That's and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, wings, beer, and sports. We all love it. All right. let's move on. I have one more thing to do. Was it pertains to that, but a lot of positive comments on the Josh Hart interview. Seems like a good kid.
Yeah,
be a good fit for the Rockets.
They're gonna miss that dude.
Yeah, but it's been a very good run for him. So I think
not very often you see seniors. You know, yeah. It just doesn't happen very often. But
it's one of the reasons why I kind of thought they'd make a deeper run, but. Yeah, they did kind of hose them. That Wisconsin matchup was not an easy one for a second round.
No. 40% from 3 this year.
That sounds like a rocket.
Yeah, they probably make that work, huh?
Yeah.
Speaking of, man, the Rockets could not hit a shot to save their lives last night. I mean, Damian Lillard thoroughly outplayed James Harden, and now they've got to go to Golden State.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the worst possible time for things to be kind of falling
apart. They're still fine, but the problem is they're not shooting the ball well, and if James Harden's wrist is really hurt, just sit him. Just sit him, get him right, and then you'll win a couple of games, and you'll still be three. And that's the thing. I don't know if that's the case, but he hasn't looked like the same player.
No.
And that's usually means you're injured. And they said the wrist has been bothering, but he says now he's going to play through it. And that's one of those things where
– they still have a five-game cushion on the four seed.
They're fine. Give him a day off. Let him rest it. And I know he wants to play every game because – and I wonder – okay, I'll just throw this out there. Is this because –
because he wants to win the MVP.
He's looking up and seeing Russell Westbrook put up 57. If that's the case, I think your priorities are a little off.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. And I think that's the maybe if that's the reason he wants to keep playing every single game, even when he's hurt, I think that's where – coach maybe needs to step in with a little intervention.
More than likely.
Just what I think.
Yeah, there are a lot of teams locking up playoff spots. You're starting to see a lot of ease next to the bad teams as they get eliminated. And in the next couple days, Minnesota will catch an E. Dallas will catch an E. The Pelicans will get an E. Dallas, although I'll give Dallas some credit, they're first half of the season was so abysmal.
Yeah, it really was.
Like, for them to even show up and act like they want to play this late in the season, I give kudos to those guys.
Yeah,
it looked like it was going to be a top five draft pick year for the Mavericks, and they're not that bad, but not good enough to make the playoffs, and they've sort of been stumbling lately. But it's really only one playoff spot in the West still to be decided.
Which right now is the
Blazers and Nuggets look like the two teams going at it.
Blazers, one of the hottest teams in the league right now.
They are. They're playing good ball.
And that's why I'm not the Rockets losing to the Warriors, there's not really any shame in that. And I don't think there's any shame in losing to the Blazers right now. That team's playing very good basketball and have gotten themselves right back in it. And it don't look now, but the whole Golden State, the whole San Antonio's getting close. Warriors 9-1 in their last 10.
Pretty good.
So I think the races are getting interesting.
Not that the Spurs have been playing bad.
It's just the Warriors are playing
better.
And I think the Blazers are going to get the 8 seed. I don't think there's any chance they catch Memphis. So Denver could still sneak in, but to me it looks like that's going to be your first round matchup, Golden State and Portland.
That's what it looks like.
And San Antonio-Memphis would be the interesting one for me if it does play out that way. Then you have Rockets, Thunder, and Jazz Clippers.
Yeah, worst-case scenario for the Rockets, like I said, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen because the Thunder are playing so well right now that it looks like they're going to hold on to that 6th seed. But I always said if the Grizzlies passed up the Thunder and the Grizzlies were the 6th seed, that would not be ideal for the Rockets.
That would suck.
But I think the Rockets will smoke the Thunder in a seven-game series.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. As long as Harden's not nursing a hurt wrist.
That's true.
So, I want to know, is this the first time you and your wife are both out of town in different cities? No, I think she was in Phoenix when I was in New York once or something. I don't know. I don't really keep up with it. But yeah, she's still in Chicago. A lot of people like that interview. Greg says that's the only reason Harden's playing through everything, worried about padding those stats.
Yeah, well.
And, it's hard not to look up and see what Westbrook's doing and get caught up in it if you're a competitor and you're thinking this is my chance to win the thing. I just think from a big picture perspective, well, you know what? Let me reverse that because I think we're both on the – both of the belief they can't beat the Warriors in a seven-game series, right?
The
Rockets.
Rockets, yeah, there's no way.
So why not go out there every night, pad up your stats, and try to win the MVP?
Maybe so.
That's probably all you're going to get.
Maybe so. I honestly don't think they'll beat the Spurs in a 7-game series.
I don't know. That one, I think it's not likely, but it's possible. I don't see where it's at all possible against the Warriors, and maybe I'm wrong about that.
Especially because Kevin Durant's going to be back. If they do get a chance to play him, Kevin Durant will be there.
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, who knows? He could come back out. He's been a little injury prone the last few
That's
years.
True.
He could come out and snap again. All right, 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. And, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter. 3-2 with a good point. If Harden sits and the Rockets get stomped, it'll help his MVP chances.
That's true.
Yeah. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I wanted to get to this, and I don't know if we'll have time because we've got RJ coming up. But I mentioned it yesterday, and we didn't get to it, but ESPN ranked every front office in the NBA.
Okay.
And they asked voters to rate each team's rate each team's front office management on its guidance and leadership in terms of how it affects overall on-court success, both in the short and long term. And then they calculated the ratings to determine the NBA's best and worst front offices. Well, let's start at the bottom. Who do you think is number 30?
I would guess the Kings are probably close to the bottom.
29.
I would guess the Magic are probably pretty close to the bottom.
Magic are 27.
Where's Phoenix?
Phoenix, 26.
Okay. I'm dotting around it. What about the Nets?
The Nets are 24. Mm. You keep getting better and better here.
Man. I don't know. Who's the worst?
The New York Knicks.
Oh, boy.
Chicago, they have at 28. They have Lakers at 23, which I think is too high. All right, but let's talk about the success stories.
I think Chicago at 28 is too low.
Yeah, I do too. All right, so let's talk about the success stories. Where would you I'll throw out a team, and you tell me where you think they rank in the top 10.
Okay.
Oklahoma City.
I would say probably near the bottom of the top 10.
They're 10th.
Okay.
Toronto.
Man, they've done good things. I would say the middle low end, like 7-8.
They're 8th, yeah.
Okay.
Miami.
Oh, I would have to say the low end.
They're 5, and I wouldn't have them in my top 10.
Okay, that seems...
Yeah, it seems silly. Dallas.
I'd say 6.
7.
Okay.
I would have Dallas ahead of Miami. Cleveland is number 6. So that leaves you a top 4. We all know number one, right? I don't think we even need to debate that.
I don't think there's much discussion to be had about who number one is.
The San Antonio Spurs. So your other three teams are the Celtics, the Warriors, and your Rockets in the 2-3-4 spots. So they have Golden State 2, Boston 3.
Rockets 4.
Rockets 4.
Okay. And that's not taking into account coaches, right?
No.
Okay.
I could see the Rockets 4 there in that list. Now, I'd have Toronto higher. I'd have Miami lower. I think I'd have, but Cleveland, they're not winning because of the front office.
No.
So maybe they shouldn't even be in the
They probably team. Shouldn't. Listen, the front office is basically, we signed LeBron James.
And yeah.
By the way, he didn't come because they have such a great front office. He came because it's his home. There's nothing special about Cleveland minus LeBron James.
All right. Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by Coaches vs. Cancer. Westwood One and its partner stations around the nation are pleased to be teaming with Coaches vs. Cancer during the NCAA tournament and this Final Four weekend. Join the fight in the Coaches vs. Cancer team today by texting CVC to 41444. You can also donate at coachesversuscancer.org. Every dollar counts. All right. I'll tell you what else counts is every donation you make to Houston Cars for Kids. And those donations go a long way. They help Houston Can Academies, which is a terrific place. What they do is they take in kids who have dropped out of other schools. Good kids, man. Some of them had transportation problems getting there. Some of them had issues where maybe they needed glasses and couldn't read. Some of them had to get jobs to support their family. Well, guess what Houston Can Academy does? They take care of those problems for these kids, give them a second chance, work around all of it, and they graduate so many kids. Who knows what would have happened if these kids hadn't got another opportunity. And that's why they need your donations so much, is to help with those programs. And by your donations, they mean a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV. Doesn't matter if it's running or not. Tractor, a big lawnmower, any of those things. And it doesn't matter what shape it's in. If it's just been sitting there and you didn't know what to do with it, well, they're going to come tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. Your donation is tax deductible, which will be a huge help next year on your taxes. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Make sure you tell them on the Blitz. And they're going to give you a $50 Visa gift card. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. It doesn't matter where we are when you hear that song, you know who's coming on. America's gambling guru, the world's gambling guru, RJ Bell, pregame.com. What's going on, RJ? How are you, my friend?
I can see the madness finish line. I'm huffing and I'm puffing.
Yeah, we're getting there finally. I think it's I do like one thing I saw in your notes though, because the one game I really like is South Carolina to cover, and I love the little stat you have about them in this tournament.
Yeah, this is eye popping, but I'll be honest with you, I probably have the opposite reaction to it. So four games so far for South Carolina. They've covered each game by double digits. Now, as we talk about, the spread by definition is expectation. So if you exceed expectation by 10 plus points every game, mighty, mighty impressive, not just getting here, but easily. But what happens when you cover four games easily in a row? It's very positive reinforcement for those who bet South Carolina along the way, right? Imagine you bet a team, you win, you get your money back, double it, and it's easy. And you do it again, double easy. What happens? You keep doing it. Now, if a team keeps positively reinforcing its bettors, more people are going to bet it. And when more people bet it, it gets more expensive. Here's an objective way to quantify that. If, let me ask you guys, I mean, you know, or whomever wants to answer here, if Gonzaga and South Carolina played in the first round, what would the line be?
I mean, assuming played in the first round like they
seeded. We go back in time. We go back in time, and none of these four games have happened yet. What would the line be with the Zags in South Carolina? Let me tell you what the Vegas opinion is. You can tell me if you agree. It'd be about 10. Gonzaga favored by 10. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds probably
about
right.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Okay. So now what's happened from that hypothetical time a couple weeks ago till now is four wins for Gonzaga, four wins for South Carolina. But somehow the line's gone down 3 points.
Well, also taking into consideration who South Carolina's beat. I mean, that, okay. They beat a two seed in or they beat Duke, they beat Baylor. I mean, they've got some impressive wins on that thing.
Gonzaga, are we going to really Gonzaga call the Baylor? Are we really going to call the Baylor win impressive?
I mean, they blew the doors off of them. Yeah, I would call that impressive.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm not saying the outcome of the game itself, but rather Baylor as a team. You know, you said who they beat. Okay, yeah, they beat them badly. Fair enough. And listen, I'm not debating in any way that this has been a wonderful, you know, amazing, overperforming run by South Carolina. But when you have 35, you know, or so games to assess a team on, and you overweight four games like this, this is just recency bias at its best. Now, here's the thing. The tournament is about momentum, and sometimes players just start playing in a certain way together and it feels magical and they play better than their true talent level. And maybe that's what's going on here. But I think in general, when two teams win four games each and one team net has gained 3 points on them, it feels like an overreaction to me.
I'm not that high on Gonzaga either, so that's one of the
reasons. And I'm not either, which is another. And so I'm guessing you would have loved to bet well, I guess it's kind of hard to take ourselves out of how they've played so far. But even if that hadn't happened, you would have liked South Carolina plus 10 in round one?
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, they play sort of the same style of basketball. They're both pretty bad offensively. And when you get two so-so offensive and pretty solid defensive teams, those big spreads, they're hard to cover in low-scoring games.
I agree with that. That's a great macro concept, right? Is it doesn't matter what the sport is, baseball, football, basketball, is the bigger the over under, the less each point means, and vice versa. Smaller, less scoring, each point means more. And, it's a good segue to the next game, because if you take the 7 points the Zags are favored and the 5 points that North Carolina is favored by, 12 points, summed up between the two games with the favorites, that's as big of a Final Four, summed up favorites as I can remember. Maybe there's been a year or so, but in the last 20, I'd say this is either one, two, or three. So we certainly have, clear favorites and clear underdogs, more so than usual with the Final Four.
So let's talk about that other game. How do you see that one going?
I think Oregon is probably underrated. I mean, this is a 3 seed. And, let's look at the history of the tournament when it comes to seeding ceilings. And we've talked about this a few times, and it applies in the championship round and then for the ultimate champion. So in the last 31 years, there's only been 2 times that there's been any team in the final worse than a 6 seed. And actually, one of the years, there were 2 teams in it, but 2 years that there was at least one out of 31 years. So South Carolina winning the game outright, obviously different than covering, would be bucking a lot of history with their seedings. Now, when it comes to the champion, 27 in the last 28 years, 4 seed or better. So once again, South Carolina would be the one team. But even in Oregon, if they won out, it might feel like this humongous upset. But they would, as a 3 seed, fall squarely in the pedigree teams. You think about it, a 3 seed is one of the top 12 teams in the country. So I think North Carolina is the best team left in this tournament. So it kind of makes sense that, if the Zags were playing Oregon, my guess is this line's maybe Zags 3. So, do the math. North Carolina is about 2 points better than Gonzaga, and that's what we would project the finals to be. And by the way, if that were to happen, I would love North Carolina in that game. I'm not betting either of these games. I would bet that. And that's another good thing to talk about is, and we always try to caution our listeners. Let's say that you bet one of these 2 games and you kind of feel proud. You say, yep. I didn't play both Final Four games. I'm sharp. It's like, okay, well, you played half of the games. So on a big Saturday in February, there's, 100 games. So who bets 50 games on a Saturday, right? Which is half. Nobody. So it's very, very reasonable if you're trying to invest that you would pass both of these Saturday games. Doesn't mean because I don't see value that there's not value. It just means that when there's 2 games, the odds of there being 0 games with value is quite high, which means you want to pass them both. But all that said, NC minus 2 over the Zags, I think, would be really short.
Kind of bringing it around, if South Carolina is somehow able to beat Gonzaga and you get a North Carolina-South Carolina title game, does South Carolina, does their perception improve now that they've beaten yet another team that no one thought they could beat?
I think for sure, yes. And I think probably more than North Carolina's would by winning the game. And that's a great, whenever you project out to, like, if these two teams win, what would the next line be? You got to ask yourself, what will be the marketplace's reaction to the 2 hypothetical victories? And North Carolina winning, it'd be, of course, yep, expected. And South Carolina winning would be, wow, 5 in a row. And just mathematically, if you're a 7-point dog and you win, there's a pretty good chance that you've covered by double digits again. doesn't have to happen, but most of the time you would. So now five straight games, double-digit covers. So, yes, I think that if you just do the math and say, okay, NC's 2 points better than the Zags, and Zags are 7 points better than South Carolina, you would say NC's 9 over South Carolina. I think that'd probably be 8 because there'd be a greater adjustment for the South Carolina win.
RJ, I want to switch subjects just a little bit because baseball starts on Monday, and you sent over these win totals, and I look at Astros 91, and just I am baffled. I would completely go under on this because their pitching staff concerns the hell out of me, and that's a, I mean, I know they signed some guys, but Vegas is really that high on the Astros that they have them at 91.
Yeah, and here's the beauty. If you disagree with Vegas, they will bet you on it. So you can step up, no problem.
I plan
only
to.
Three, all right, there you go. Only three. I had no doubt about it. Only three teams with better win totals. Dodgers at 94, Indians 93. Oh, I'm sorry, check that. My print page. It was the Cubs first, so there's four teams. Cubs at 96.5. That's a high, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I could see the Cubs winning 100. Yeah, but to have at least a 50% chance of winning 97 games, that's a mighty, mighty, you know, high expectation team. And perhaps rightfully so, but even so, Dodgers with 94, Indians with 93, Red Sox 92.5. And as you said, Astros are tied with the Nationals at 91. You know, I'm not a baseball, like, you know, especially this time of year, dig in and talk about third starters. But I love local on the ground, especially from sharp guys like you two. So I would take that seriously. But, you know, obviously the Astros are not a popular team. One thing I'm always interested in is if a popular team seems to have a low number, that means Vegas is not afraid at all of overaction. And when an unpopular team has a high number, that means they're not afraid of underaction. Because I think if you walk up to people on the street and say, you know, hey, the Astros are the fifth best team in baseball, yes or no, you're going to get a lot of people would say no. And thus, by making them the fifth best team, they're very comfortable with under bets in this game. Doesn't mean it's not going to win or whatever, just the psychology of Vegas. And whenever you see, like, you know, and this year, let me just go down the list and maybe pick a team, you know, like the Yankees at 83.5, right? That's not much better than 500. They're saying we're not afraid of overaction because you're going to get, I think, a majority of overaction with a number like that. Or someone like KC, who obviously has played very well. You know, if you look over the last 3 or 4 years, this team, if you add up the wins, is right at the top. Now, obviously, there's changes every year, but KC right now, 76.5. They're going to get a lot of over, and they don't mind it.
It's funny because the Yankees, every year I look for them, in the last few years, the Vegas expectation of them has been so low. Last year it was 81, and I told Fred this last year. The last time the Yankees had a losing record was 1992. I mean, you're talking about 25 years in a row they've won more games than they've lost. To me, that's value on the Yankees. I know maybe it's a sucker play, but it was a sucker play last year that paid off.
I mean, so, I mean, in my opinion, you two are, you know, and again, it's probably much, much higher. I'm not trying to put the exact number on it, but undoubtedly are in the top, you know, 10% of sharpness of people betting. And, you know, let's assume the top 3% are professionals. And, you know, wherever you guys are in the 90s, I'll let you debate it, but you're certainly up there. The fact that you feel tempted by that, it is just a sign of how lopsided probably Yankee action over is going to be. And again, Vegas could stop that immediately by just raising their number. And the fact that they're not is a sign they're comfortable.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. RJ, great stuff as always, my friend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Hey, you guys have fights. It's great when it seems like every other week you're at some other destination, staying in a 4-star hotel. I mean, I hope that your listeners don't get envious, right? I hope they vicariously live through you.
No, they can't be envious of our lives, let me tell you.
Thanks, guys.
Have you seen the two of us?
Yeah, exactly. All right, RJ, we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Okay, before we go to break here, I got to tell you, Westwood One's NCAA Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by Coaches vs. Cancer. Westwood One and its partner stations around the nation are pleased to be teaming with Coaches versus Cancer during the NCAA tournament and this Final Four weekend. Join the fight and the Coaches versus Cancer team today by texting CVC to 41444. You can also donate at coachesversuscancer.org. Every dollar counts.
ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. I want to thank Westwood One for bringing us out here. Always a pleasure. Okay, we have a kind of different gym of the day today. Because we sat down with Captain Obvious.
Oh, congratulations.
A little earlier. And so we are going to make this the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I'm here in Phoenix with Captain Obvious, Hotels.com's biggest fan, and maybe an even bigger basketball fan. The entire country is going to be watching these next few games. Somewhat of a celebrity yourself. Any advice to the players?
Yes. If you cry on television, you'll probably become a meme. Remember, being somewhat of a celebrity isn't always rewarding, but Hotels.com is. With their rewards program, you unlock instant savings now and earn free nights to use later.
There you have it. That was Captain Obvious for Hotels.com.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Not gonna lie, Hoffman, I feel a little shame.
I mean,
I feel a little shame.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I wish I could make you feel better.
There's nothing. There's just no words. Oh, man. Don't include that part when you send it to him, John. yeah, should be some fun games tomorrow. I am going to play South Carolina and I will wait and see if it does wind up being North Carolina Gonzaga, and it's North Carolina minus two. I will unload on that Monday, but we'll be able to talk about that then.
I don't think I'm going to end up playing either of these games. I do think North Carolina rolls, and I do think I think Gonzaga wins, but I think it's a close game.
Yeah, and that's the one where, if I bet the other game, I would take North Carolina, but I'm probably not going to. All right, guys, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates?
I do.
I do, too.
ZipRecruiter.
Yeah, and you know what? You're not going to post your job in just one place, are you?
That'd be stupid.
You need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. And I'll tell you, man, I've hired people in the past. I wish I had ZipRecruiter back then. I'm going to be hiring some people. I wish I'll be using it now.
Do they have an easy-to-use interface?
They do, because you can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. And there you go. Just watch the qualified candidates roll right in.
Yeah, and guys, you don't have to deal with the juggling emails, no calls to your office. You can quickly screen your candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used not only by Fortune 100 companies, but thousands of small and medium-sized businesses as well. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. One more time. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/play. Play.
Quiet sound, settle quiet down. Bow your head, the most high's around. Lord,
these things are not right. These things Lord. Are not right. Hell, nobody's Lord.
The pastor had the thing for design.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.